We're here with, what's your name, sir?
David Muzik.
David Muzik.
M-U-Z-I-C.
M-U-Z-I-C. Today is the 15th of March, 2019, 4:33 p.m. We're at Uncle Seven's. What's your date of birthday? And what's a good telephone number for you? Okay, what's your home address? Tell me, not just what you've heard or anything.
I mean, like, start beginning from when I got here?
Yeah, your perspective of everything that you observed.
I got here, it was around 3:15 p.m. And I came in the front door to park my car on the side. I walked in, immediately when I walk in, I go over to that area, which is pretty much mine. And I turn on all these TVs and get them all set up. And so I did that. Then I walked behind the bar and said hi to Keith and Franny. And Judy was here. I said hi.
Okay.
And Dale was also here, another patron. He left a few minutes before everything went down. And then while I was still in here, I walked to the back, and I got some chips and something to drink. Checked everything, beer and stuff, and then I guess, and then I saw the other gentleman, but the gentleman that he was standing over there by the fireball machine, skull, crossbones.
You're talking about the guy that shot?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you saw the suspect?
Yeah, and I saw him standing there. Actually, he was sitting down when I first saw him. I had a very distinctive mustache. I kind of was like, that's really interesting. And it seemed like he was kind of out of it. And then I got behind the bar. His friend, he needed to go to the back or something. I was watching it for her.
Okay.
And I served Dale a shot or something. And then he left. I was just talking to Dale. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, that's fine.
I was talking to Dale, said hi to him, because he was sitting up in the... he was sitting kind of near Judy. She was sitting in the middle. And then at one point, I was over there after Franny came back and took it back over the bar. I walked back over to the DJ area and was checking something on the computer.
Yeah.
I heard a crash, and I guess Dale had tried to get up, and he fell.
Dale did?
Yes, and he fell into the suspect.
Okay.
So I went over there to make sure they're both okay, because they're both kind of old.
Yeah.
And Dale's knees, I guess, aren't the best.
Yeah.
And I made sure that he was okay, and then he left. And then I got back behind the bar when James came in. Franny got him a beer. And then I was standing behind the bar. I was talking to Judy, and she mentioned that there was a $50 bill laying on the bar, that it might have been that gentleman's.
Okay.
And so I handed it back to him, and he grabbed it from me all weirdly, and then he was looking towards her, and he threw it over his shoulder like this. Like, literally, that was the exact motion that made me like.
What was it, Ether?
The $50 bill I gave him, and it landed back on the bar right in front of him. Almost if he didn't care. And then I was talking to him for a little bit there. He was saying, I guess, some along the lines of that's the way it is. And I heard he was deaf. He told me he couldn't hear very well. So I shouted, yeah. And then he still couldn't really hear me, so I just nodded my head and smiled and said, yeah. And then He said a few other things. I couldn't really understand him.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a drunk slur.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot. It was more of like, when I was looking at him and the way he was acting and talking, I kept thinking of my, who's schizophrenic.
Mm.
It sort of seemed like that. Like he was sort of talking to me, but he wasn't really talking to me.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know exactly what his mental state is, or what he went through, so I don't want to comment on that.
Yeah, no,
that's just my observation.
Yeah, sure.
I guess he liked that I smiled and not agreed with him or whatever, so he said, "You're cool."
Okay.
And I was like, "All right, thank you."
Yeah.
And then I left, walked back through and checked with Keith to make sure, all the beer was stopped, check if he needed any help with anything.
Yeah.
For any of the cheese fries for James. He walked. That was that. At that point, after we had words and conversation, I walked back, and he walked, towards the restrooms and looked at all that. I had been back there for probably about 60 and 90 seconds.
Okay.
So maybe something occurred, words or something. I don't know. Because when I got back, James was sitting next to Judy.
Okay.
And so I said hi, and Judy was telling me how he kind of creeped me out.
Yeah.
And James was kind of agreeing with her.
Yeah.
And mentioned that he told her to leave her alone. She mentioned to me that he came up on the other side of her and kind of pinched her on her side. And while she was saying all that, I was, looking at him, he walked behind her, towards the restroom. And while that conversation, I saw him push the men's bathroom door open and look in and walk past it and do the same thing to the women's. Because you can see it, you have a pretty good angle. I'm standing right there where the TV was.
Yeah.
So I didn't think anything of it, really. And then I walked, they were continuing their conversation. So I walked back out, looked, I went out the patio door.
Mm-hmm.
And Stevie was out there. So I went back there and saw the fire was still smoldering. So I thought maybe I'd, move a few things so that I could get it going a little bit better. Talking to Stevie a little bit, and then he turned around and started walking towards this direction. I didn't see him go inside, but I'm assuming he did, because I walked to the other.
You talking about the suspect?
Stevie.
Okay.
The injured.
Yeah.
Because I turned around and went out the back gate.
Okay.
And I'm assuming only because of what I, heard later was that it started to go down then, before Stevie walked inside.
Yeah. Who did you hear that from?
Well, because when he was walking this direction, I was still looking at the fire and
a little bit.
So then I got up, and as I was opening that door back there, I heard a commotion.
You heard?
I heard a glass break. So
you were in the back at that point?
At that point I was in the back. I was looking in, and I saw Keith run from the back, yelling at me that he had a gun. So at that point I didn't even try to run inside. I ran, over here, to the first stop.
Where?
The auto place next to where I ran.
Okay.
Their first two garages were closed, so I ran to the third one. And there was a guy working on the car.
What's the name of the auto shop?
First Stop Auto Care.
Okay.
There was a guy underneath the car, and I screamed. I was like, there's a shooter, at the bar. And he didn't really register. It didn't really dawn on him.
Yeah.
So that's how my... needed to, call 911. Could I use his phone? Because I left mine in here.
Did you dial 911?
Yes, I called 911 from over there and told them there was a shooter inside Uncle Seven's, and they needed to send the police.
Okay.
And I didn't know that anybody was injured.
Sure.
While I was over there.
Did you hear? Did you hear gunshots?
Yes. Yeah, while I was in there, I heard a few.
Did you hear gunshots where you're in the auto?
Yeah, yeah.
How many gunshots did you hear? You think?
It was about three or four, roughly, that I heard. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's called First Stop Auto?
Yeah, First Stop Auto. Yeah. Yeah. So then after I got out, I hung up the phone after she got the address and, you know, my phone number and everything. I went back the way I came in because I wanted to approach the building carefully just in case.
Yeah.
So I snuck back around back and walked back through the back and saw shattered glass on the floor. Franny was freaking out. She handed me her phone, told me to call Kenny, tell Kenny to get back here. So at that point, I dialed his number.
Okay.
And I was like, Kenny, you need to get back here now.
Okay.
And then I saw James on the floor over there. I was like, what the hell happened? Yeah. And he told me he got shot.
Yeah.
So at that point, I called 911 back on my phone.
Yeah.
And I told him they need to make sure to send the bus. You know, they want to make sure he was taken care of. And then Carl came in, which is one of our regulars, and helped put pressure on the wound and kept him talking.
Okay.
You know, while I was, you know, calling, I made sure the door was propped open for the ambulance, and I stood out front, you know, make sure no, you know, if anybody didn't want anybody to. I asked one of the auto guys to move his car because he parked.
Yeah.
You know, but he has, that one, right, that car right there.
Yeah. Sure.
They sometimes park, you know, so. And make sure they move for the ambulance purposes.
Okay.
So.
Anything else you can remember?
I remember, asking Stevie if he was all right. He told me his back was hurting, but he didn't look like he just got shot. Like he was still standing up. And didn't think anything of it. He was walking around.
Stevie's not like he's an intellectually.
Yeah, intellectually challenged.
Yeah.
He can't read and anything and stuff like that. So, man, but he's a good guy. So, comes here all the time. Nice guy. He didn't show any signs that he.
No reason to believe it.
No reason to believe at all. So, I mean, when the paramedics were here, I mean, they didn't. I guess they just wanted to make sure he was okay, so I mean, I don't want to blame them or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't speak up, you know, but even then, they didn't know that he was, and we were all, you know, shocked about what happened. You know, we didn't think twice to, ask double ask. But other than that, that's pretty much all I remember.